3,100 has been a goal of yours, it seems, for a long, long time, and you're here at last. How does that sound right?
Actually, it's only the last couple of years that I thought about doing the 3,100-mile race. In fact, if you'd asked me maybe 3 or 4 years ago whether I would be doing multi-day races at all, like races of longer than, you know, a marathon or like a 50K race, I don't know what I would have told you. I did my first multi-day race in 2013, which was the 6 and 10 day race. And I started that race really not knowing what to expect. You know, I was told that doing, you know, if I could do like 50 miles a day, you know, and do 500 miles, you know, that would be very good. And that was kind of my goal going in. You know, I fully expected to be walking, hobbling after a couple of days. But after 4 or 5 days, I was still running, and I was actually on course for 60 miles a day, which, as you know, is kind of the unofficial benchmark that the organizers use when considering for the 3,100 mile race. So that's actually, in the middle of that race, was the first time I actually started thinking about the 3,100 mile race.
I was going to say that in that it was kind of radical in the fact that you went from 24 hours to 10 days, that you didn't have any fear. You jumped right up to 10 and didn't do what some people would say would be the normal transition of going, oh, we're going to do 2 days or 6 days. You went straight to 10 days.
I actually, originally, I didn't even go for 24 hours. You know, when I decided to do the 10-day race for the first time, I wasn't actually going to do the 10-day race. I was going to do the 6-day race that ran concurrently. And then what happened was then I started training, and I hadn't even done a 24-hour race up until that point. So I did a 24-hour race up until London. And then maybe a few weeks afterwards, I was giving a meditation class. That's definitely one of the things I like doing, you know, back in Ireland, as I was in the time, and in Iceland, where I live now, giving free meditation classes for the public. And for whatever reason, we actually started talking about meditation and running, and with the people who were at the class, and it was very, very inspiring conversation. And I went home feeling very, I don't know, somehow elated, and I went to bed, and I got up and had a very, very nice meditation in the morning. And somehow in the morning, like during my meditation, I got this inner feeling, well, if it's going to be such a transformative experience, as everybody had done the race was telling me that it really was such an amazing experience, you know, why not do the race for 10 days rather than 6? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, some, I guess it goes to show the difference between, you know, the mind. The mind likes to do things in increments. You know, it says, okay, first let's do 5 miles, let's do 7 miles, let's do 10 miles, let's do... But then the difference between the mind and then the heart, which you feel in meditation, sometimes the heart just gets a feeling and it just kind of goes for it.
Well, clearly 2013 was an incredible experience for you, that you did the benchmark, but not only that, in terms of separating the mind and the heart, the final day, you do this incredible, more mileage, you did this 90-mile day, and you would have to say, I think, that this is where the heart power comes out, that you didn't think about, you said, I'm going to go for it and not really put limitations, let's just go for this huge number and just see, come what may. Does that sound right?
Yeah, exactly. I guess, as well, it goes to show a little bit somehow how the mind can be easily fooled. And definitely one of the tricks you learn during multi-day races is somehow how to, you know, fool your mind a little bit to kind of keep it going along. Because one of the things that happened was during that first day race, I would go, before I went to bed at night, I usually would have like a massage with Arpan, who, you know, we both know very well. And, you know, he would be telling all of his stories, you know, about races past, and, you know, because he's such a veteran ultramarathoner himself. And one of the things he used to say was that, you know, the last day he would basically, you know, not go to bed at all. He would just stay out there all night and all the rest. And the way he said it somehow I just thought that was a thing. I just thought that was what everybody did, you know. So somehow my mind, I wasn't looking forward to it, but at the same time, my mind was kind of thinking, yeah, well, you know, that's what everybody does.
But you also spoke to somebody else who said to you, you know, if you do this, you'll get that.
Yeah, but that was, you see, again, it just goes to show, you know, in stages, you know, so I just kind of reconciled myself, you know, to the fact of staying, you know, out all night and all. So I got to the stage where it was maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And at that stage, I think I was at about, coming up to about 580 miles or thereabouts. And I passed by another good friend of mine, another veteran ultramarathoner, Ushika Muckenhumer. And he was saying that, so you're going for 1,000K, which happens to be actually 622 miles.
A long way away.
Which is a long way away. So I actually, I wasn't even remotely thinking about it, you know, up until, you know, he actually mentioned it. So it was kind of nice because it kind of put another goal in front of me, you know.
Do you think these things come along like the Arpans and the Ushikas along as just a little, I mean, do they come, they don't come out of, I mean, they come out of the blue in some ways, but in some ways they're part of where life throws you opportunities and you need to be a little knock on the head or a little tap on the back and say, let's go for it?
I think one of the things that definitely happens during these races, I think it's there all the time, but I think maybe during these races, the mind has to subside a little bit. And because you seem somehow a little bit more connected to yourself, you definitely become a lot more aware of, I guess, what we would call grace. That somehow, deep within, you're connected to something very, very powerful. That also has your back, you know, that really is, you know, because when you do these races, in a way, it's a little bit like tightrope walking, you know, in a way, you're really kind of pushing yourself out there, you know, and it requires definitely a lot of trust that you have this inner power that's kind of going to kick in at some point, that you have, you know, this connection with, you could say, God or something, you know, like deeper or something higher. But then, you know, when you actually put yourself out there, when you actually, it's almost like a child, you know, our teacher Shuchimo used to say that, if you're holding like your father's hand, you know, like if you're holding your father's hand, then, you know, you're much more likely to let it go. But if you let somehow your father hold your hand, you know, then you're much less like somehow likely to sip. And I think that analogy is quite appropriate somehow, because like during the race, you know, you're really somehow pushing, you know, you're kind of putting yourself out there, especially with a distance like with 1300 miles, which is so incomprehensible to the mind. You know, you're really kind of say, you know, you're really just saying to the mind, okay, you know, at some point you kind of have to say, I don't, you know, I hear your objections, but I'm kind of going to do it anyway. And then when you kind of put yourself out beyond that, you really have such tremendous experiences where this inner power kind of, you know, kicks in and kind of saves you.
Well, just to go back for a second. So you come out of that 2013 race, you have the benchmark. So you know that in terms of that 62 miles a day for the 3100, it's possible.
Yeah.
But you're not ready then, or you don't, you need an extra buffer year to kind of get there, or what happens?
Well, I definitely, it actually took me a long time to recover, you know, from the race. You know, I think partly because it was my first time. You know, when I did the race next year, it took me a much shorter period of time. I didn't feel quite fully up to 100% running capacity, maybe until October, November that year.
But is the 3100 always kind of glimmering in the distance, calling you out to come to it?
But I still really didn't know. You know, there's a few different variable kind of factors going on, and it was only, I actually rang the race director at some point, and he said, well, actually, we're starting to choose the people to do the race. We could probably squeeze you in if you wanted, but you know, if you were to take my advice, I would actually take this year to really train and really train hard and kind of go for it next year. And that also seemed to kind of square with what was actually happening, you know, with all the other stuff that was going on in my life at the you know, at that time. Also, the other interesting thing was, you know, at one point I really didn't know whether I should do the race or not, whether I had, because, you know,
this is like going back 2 years ago or in the last year?
In the last year, the beginning of last year, because one 10-day race really isn't, in terms of the actual, not only practical experience to deal with things like injuries and all the rest, you know, just, you could say the running, like on the road experience, it's not an awful lot to go on, you know, in terms of, you know, attempting a 10-day race. So I was really wondering whether I should do it or not. And again, I was sitting down to meditation at one point, and I really had this inner feeling, you know, because it's one of those things you're kind of like, will I or won't I, you know, and all the rest. And I really just had this feeling, like, don't worry about it, you know.
So when does this happen? This year in 2015 or late 2014?
Sorry, we're talking about last year.
Last year.
sometimes I'm not that great at describing. I had an interview with a newspaper yesterday, you know, and I'm almost like one of those films that are kind of jumping forward and jumping back, you know, in terms of the actual chronology.
Machine, yeah,
exactly.
So sometime in 2014 you say, yeah, I'm going to do it. But now, when do you apply and when do you get your invitation to come to this one this year?
So I decided in early 2014 that I would do the 10-day race again, which I was really glad I did, because I actually did a lot better and it gave me a lot of confidence that I could, you know, that I could finish the race, and, you know, that I had the capacity to do it. So then, yeah, I applied and started seriously training, you know, probably from about October onwards.
So did you know in October you were going to do it this?
No. Usually what happens is you apply, and then at the beginning of the year they let you know, because there's actually, there's 12 runners doing it. I think they had somehow upwards of 20 people who are qualified to do it.
So starting in October, it no longer became something theoretical. It was something that was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And in January, you get the real okay.
Yeah.